Great. Well, this is coming up. It's interesting because the questions that I was asking in many ways are similar because with a different population. I'm interested in vision impairment. I've done a lot of work with vision impairment, and the question here is whether or not a health utility instrument, and health utility is a subset of our health-related quality of life instruments, really ought to have a question that's specific about vision impairment, which some of them do, or whether, again, it sort of is diffused out through the functions that it's related to in terms of how it affects people's rating of their health-related quality of life. So, as with all of us, I'm supposed to disclose that I don't have any financial relationships that are relevant to this particular study. I want to acknowledge my co-authors from Johns Hopkins and Chris Spencer's now over at the University of Baltimore, and that this was funded by Prevent Blindness America, or as part of some other work that I was doing estimating the burden of blindness in the United States. So the objective of this particular analysis was to determine whether or not visual impairment and blindness have an independent relationship with health utility as measured by a visual analog scale, or if the relationship is mediated by specific health domains. And of course, I'm going to have to tell you all about how what the visual analog scale that we were using was, how we were measuring visual impairment, and then what the other health domains were in order to sort of put this in a context. So one question might be, given that the title is about health utility, why use visual analog scale and not a general health utility measurement result? Many of our health utility measures that exist, including the one that comes from the survey that I used for this analysis, are societal ratings. So somebody has asked thousands of other people about the different health states that can be described by an instrument and come up with an algorithm to provide scores. Now that's interesting, but what we want to know is for people who actually have the condition, do they see a condition as being predictive of their own health utility? So a visual analog scale is a personal rating. And again, what we're interested in is whether or not individuals who are visually impaired perceive an effect. And so what we're trying to consider is how preferences among those with visual impairment should be related back to cost-effectiveness analyses. As a health economist, I do lots of these cost-effectiveness analyses, and it has sort of become gospel truth among some segments of the health economics population that we should use societally rated measures. So measures where we're not asking the individuals themselves, but we ask the individuals to tell us about their health, and then we use somebody else's algorithm. But I think that's an interesting and open question. Should it be based on a societal rating? Should it be based on the individual ratings? And again, should measures that are based on societal ratings include visual impairment as a direct domain or one of the specific domains that affects the health utility measure? So methods, between 2000 and 2003, the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey asked respondents age 18 and older to respond to the UroQol 5D questions, including the visual analog scale. Respondents were also asked to report visual impairment or blindness, and I'll talk about each of those in a little bit more detail. The analysis included included only those age 40 and older, due to the fact that the prevalence of vision impairment is quite limited and the number of respondents under age 40 who reported vision impairment was quite limited. And this has been documented in other work that was done before me that was funded by Prevent Blindness America. And the regression analyses basically took the following format. First, was vision impairment or blindness related to visual analog scale responses when nothing else was included? Second, were the domains related to the visual analog scale responses? And third, when we put everything in the model at once, did that change the relationship between vision impairment and blindness and the visual analog responses once we had controlled for the domains? So it's a standard, very epidemiological approach to trying to assess whether or not a relationship has been mediated. So a few extra details about the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey. It's funded by the Agency on Healthcare Research and Quality. It's used an overlapping cohort design since 1996. Each respondent can remain in for up to 2 years. Quality of life questions were added in 2000. Some have been maintained since then, specifically the SF-12, while others, Specifically, this Euroqol instrument were dropped in 2003, and each adult age 18 or older is asked to self-report on these. Self-reported visual impairment, 5 categories. This is not the most sensitive or specific measure of visual impairment compared to clinical measures, but it's what's available in this large survey data set. Ranges from no difficulty seeing, with glasses if necessary, down to blind, and the 3 middle categories were collapsed together to represent visual impairment. And you can see the 3 middle categories focus on specific tasks, either not being able to read newsprint, not being able to recognize faces, or both. So the regression, we use linear analyses. We use survey regression commands in SAS and Stata. The survey regression commands, because of the way the sampling is done for the medical expenditure panel survey, needs to account for oversampling, cluster sampling, and non-response. And I thought I had put the visual analog scale description in the Euroqol description. The visual analog scale is simply a 20-centimeter scale where individuals are asked to indicate where on the scale they think their health is. 0 is described as the worst health state imaginable. 100 on the scale is described as the best health state imaginable. And there are appropriate markings highlighted every 10, but markings for every point along the 20-centimeter scale. The other questions from the Euroqol will see the domains as we go through, but they have to do with usual activities, sort of activities of daily living type of questions. Now, self-care is the activities of daily living type questions. Usual activities, pain, depression, anxiety, and mobility. And for each one, there's 3 levels, very simple questions. Usually it's phrased as, I have no problem with this area, I have some problem with this area, and I have a lot of problem with this area. Obviously, for the specific domains, the questions are a little more scientifically worded than that, but that's the gist of it. So each one has 3 levels, and each one was grouped as either having no problem or having at least some problem for purposes of my analyses. So here's the statistics from 2000 to 2002. I apologize, I didn't have the numbers available for 2003 when I put the slide together. But basically, this is showing that over enough years, you do have a large enough sample of individuals who self-report as blind to make a meaningful analysis. But the vast majority of the respondents, 20 and 30,000 respondents, no seeing difficulty, less than 2,000 each year with some seeing difficulty but not self-reported as blind, and around 100 each year self-reported as blind. Demographics that were controlled for in the regression include things like age, sex, self-reported health status, using the measure that was talked about in the last presentation, control for white versus non-white, education, income, insurance, marital status, and family size. So this is the first slide showing the relationship between visual impairment and the visual analog scale while controlling for demographics, but not controlling for the domains. So what this is saying is that the individuals who self-reported as blind on average gave themselves a score of 5.2 points less on the 0 to 100 scale than individuals who self-reported as having no visual impairment. And the visually impaired similarly reported 4.6 points less on the 0 to 100 scale. And again, this is controlling for demographics. If you don't control for demographics, the relationships are stronger. But the main question is comparing the control with demographics, but not with the domains, to the control with the domains. So here are odds ratios, which basically say, do individuals who self-report as being blind or visually impaired, are they more likely to report having at least some problem with each of the domains? And you'll see as we go through with the odds ratios and the 95% confidence intervals that in each case, individuals who are blind or visually impaired self-report as being more likely to have at least some problem with each of the domains. Some of them have more obvious relationships. Others need a little bit more explanation in terms of why they might exist. But right now, I'm just going to present the descriptive results. So you can see that for mobility, those who are blind have a much higher odds of self-reporting at least some problem, and visually impaired have 3 times the odds of those who don't have any visual impairment. I apologize, the self-care results, I noticed at the last minute that we had rerun the mobility regression rather than doing the self-care, but they did show a similar result. for being able to do usual activities. Again, blind have 5 times the odds of not being able to do their usual activities with no problem, if you'll excuse the double negative. And the visually impaired have about 3 times the odds, again, compared to those with no visual impairment. Even for pain, there's an interesting relationship with blindness and visual impairment. Again, at this point, it's purely descriptive. And then for anxiety, there's also a strong positive relationship between self-reporting as blind or visually impaired and self-reporting having some problem with anxiety. This is a summary then of what happens in the regression, controlling for blindness and visual impairment versus no visual impairment as the reference group, and having some problem in each of the domains versus having no problem in those domains. What you'll notice, while there is still a statistically significant relationship, and it still has a very very strong p-value for visually impaired, it went from being a difference of over 4 points to a difference of less than 2 points. And the relationship between blindness and the visual analog scale has gone away completely, both in terms of the p-value and in terms of the size of the coefficient. What's interesting is that you can see that all of the domains, mobility, 5 points loss, self-care, almost 10 points loss, usual activities, 8 points loss, pain, 4 points loss, anxiety, 6.5 points loss. Those are all much bigger losses than blindness or visual impairment, even when we weren't controlling for the domains, and they are all very strongly significant. So the conclusion, while there may be a large health utility, particularly for people who have incident visual impairment rather than people who have been living with it for a while, in a survey of community-dwelling individuals, which is what MEPS is, those living with the condition, we don't know how long they've been living with it, but it's presumably not all incident cases, may adapt to the condition over time and have a relatively small loss of utility due specifically to the visual impairment itself rather than the effects of visual impairment. The one of the other instruments is out there is called the Health Utilities Index. Thank you. It has 8 domains rather than 5. 2 of its specific domains are visual impairment and hearing impairment. I haven't done the analysis with hearing impairment, but it would be interesting to try that out as well. And this would suggest that having a societally rated instrument with visual impairment as a specific domain is probably not the right way to go if we're trying to capture how those who actually are experiencing the impairment think about their own condition. Thank you.